the story of our Savior's birth according to the Gospel of St. Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Merry Christmas. Well, you're about out of time for any last-minute Christmas present shopping. It's all but over. Anyone here making kind of a Christmas Eve resolution that next year you're going to start buying presents a little earlier? Anyone? Or perhaps thinking about, I'm going to listen a little closer for the hints and write them down as soon as I can so I can remember what I need to remember when I need to remember what's really important to me. Anyone? Now, to be sure, I'm sure we'd all agree that we really want to give good gifts. I mean, it's really nice when you hear someone say, "Man, that's the best gift ever." But tonight, it's really not about what we're going to be giving each other, maybe tonight or tomorrow. But tonight is really all about what God has given to us. And all the gifts that flow from the one gift, the gift of God's Son. You know, preaching is an interesting process. St. Paul Lutheran Church called me here in November of 2013, to preach for them. And sometimes I have to preach to them, preach to you. I'm thankful for the pastors in my life that weren't afraid to speak the truth into my heart and mind, even though I'm sure it was a little nerve-wracking. But the interesting thing about preaching is that I'm not just preaching to you and for you, but preaching is actually a group exercise. It's a process we're doing together. It's like Mary pondering all the things that she received from the shepherds, about the angels, about what's happened over the 9 months of her pregnancy, about taking it all in, being in Bethlehem, being in a barn, just pondering it all. That's really what preaching is. The old word is meditation. And meditation is all about, it's all about unwrapping the best gift ever. Today, right now, that God has given to us through his Son, Jesus, who really is the best gift ever. But to understand how wonderful this gift is, we need to start looking at what's just been heard in the reading of God's holy word. I mean, certainly the Christmas account of Luke chapter 2 is epic. It is a wonderful, well-written presentation. There are people in literature who look at chapter 2 of Luke's gospel, and even those who do not believe it, they say, this is like the best. And of course, we know it's the best because it's the best gift ever. This is it. I mean, this is what God, in his zeal from eternity, was wanting to unfold and give to us. Here it is, my gift to you. So what does this gift look like? Let's unwrap it. I mean, we hear about Jesus being conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, and all the challenges with Mary and Joseph, had to travel, full term, no place, and the perfect gift was given in less than ideal circumstances, under less than ideal conditions. God still gave his gift. But what's really fascinating to me is what was said through Isaiah long before, some 600 years before that night when the child was born to Mary and Joseph, really to us all. Isaiah, inspired by the Holy Spirit, gave us these words. Let's unwrap this gift. For to us, a child is born. To us, to you, to me. Maybe you haven't had a child yet, but you have. Because this baby, born in Bethlehem long ago, was born to you. He is your firstborn. He is your son. God giving you his son. Best gift ever. To us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. He'll bear the weight. He'll face the pressure. He'll carry it, the government. He will face all the challenges. You and I live in a nation where we have so much to be thankful for with regard to the way that we govern ourselves. Government for the people, by the people. I know that it's tempting sometimes to become pretty cynical. Sometimes we think it's government by the government for the government. But I'm thankful to be an American. And the government that we have has been a gift that God has given to us. But here, Jesus would carry the challenges of government. And the government that he was born into was a whole lot different than the government we're living under in our world. But keep in mind, he would carry the weight of both God's divine, and he would face the civil injustice of Caesar when he goes the way of the cross, and he will bear it to rescue us. It's interesting, Isaiah talks about how he'll be called. And the implication in this portion of Isaiah chapter 6, his name shall be called. He'll be of renown. Not only will he have these names, but the implication is that these really are what he is. All these names will give you pictures of exactly what he's doing in your life and in my life. These are the gifts that come with the Son that was born to you, God's gift to you, best gift ever. And let's just unwrap these and see how wonderful these names are. Wonderful. You could translate it miraculous. You could translate it awesome. When was the last time you came upon anybody who deserves the title awesome or wonderful and really can live up to it all the time? Well, Jesus, that's the one. You could even translate it marvelous. I mean, but this gift that God has given to us is awesome. Wonderful. The next word, counselor. He will be able to guide you through anything and everything that you face. He won't leave you hanging. He'll lead and guide you. You might not always like what he says. You might not always like the way he says, do this, do that. I want to direct you here. I want to direct you there. But he will be the counselor. It's interesting how these are definite. These are nouns. These are his titles. And with these titles comes the action. Case in point. The title pastor, shepherd, is used almost exclusively in the New Testament for Jesus. He's the noun. I'm at best a verb. I just do the pastoring, but he's my pastor. He's the good pastor, and there's only one good pastor, only one good shepherd. He's the noun. I'm the verb. And here in these titles, wonderful, counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, nouns, but he also does the work. He can get it done. Not only does he have the title, but he can do it. He can carry it out. That's why he's the best gift ever. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, strong one. He's our warrior God. He can fight for us. Earlier in Isaiah, we hear how he puts wars to an end. He can war against war and put it to its completion. And he will face a war, our mighty God. He will endure a battle for us so that we would have his victory through Calvary's cross. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Always has been. Always will be. Taking on flesh and blood to come for you and me, to rescue us, to shepherd us, to father us. Perhaps this is the first Christmas without your father. Powerful time. I lost my dad 42 years ago on December 17th, and so this time of year for me is pretty powerful. When I think about my dad. But you know, fathers can be a mess. Ask my kids. But this father, he'll father you in all the right ways. He knows. I'm kind of learning as I go, like a lot of dads do. But this one, he's an everlasting father. He knows how to care for us. And that's good news. He's adopted us in the waters of holy baptism. He has clothed us with his garments of righteousness. He has given us the best. He's the best gift ever. Best gift ever. And then the next title. If all these aren't enough, Prince of Peace. He will be the one who will give you peace. He will be your prince. Not Prince Charming, but the Prince of Peace. He'll be the one who will come and settle you in all the ways that you get unsettled. And man, can we be a mess as we go through this world where we can be jerked around by so many crazy things in this world, in this life. And we can become so peaceless and we can feel like we're going to pieces. And he's the one who wants to and has established and will keep us in and come to our rescue and give us peace. As I said in the lighting of the Advent wreath, going the way of the cross, Jesus would face a battle that none of us could face. And as he was being whipped by the wrath of God for all the ways that we have run away and given up and transgressed against God, for all those ways that we have stormed against God, as Jesus was facing the wrath of God in our place, a peace and a calm was being established. The one who would calm the storms in the Sea of Galilee would calm the epic storm between us and God and give us peace, so that now when John the Apostle looks and beholds the throne of God and the crystal, clear, calm waters, we know that we have peace with God. So that when there is an absence of peace in your life and my life, we can say, hold me, Jesus. Restore me, Prince of Peace. I mean, Jesus, God's best gift ever. And if that's not enough, how... We go on from verse 6 to verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. Once Jesus has established us and made us a part of his kingdom, brought us into the fellowship of his love, made us a part of his church, knit together by the power of the Holy Spirit, as he has taken a place in our heart and our mind, he governs us differently than the people of the world. He takes and establishes a place within us and then works in our life in all kinds of different ways. Not only does he work in us, though, but he works through us so that his government increases through us. I mean, our traditional word for that is mission. As you and I share the good news of what God has done through his Son, simply telling people that Jesus died for them to give them love and forgiveness, his government is expanded through us. His kingdom is advanced through us as we share the message of God's love. No other enterprise on earth can boast of such eternal, significant impact. As we share God's love with a world that's hurting and afraid and lonely, God's kingdom, his government, expands and grows. And unlike all the nations of the world that will come to an end, including our own, his never will. Isaiah says, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Man, nothing else lasts. I'm to the point of my life where a lot of my stuff is used up and broken and needs to be fixed and has been fixed a couple of times, but I sure like that stuff. Although it's getting to be kind of a challenge moving it over and over again. Now I'm starting to think it's kind of nice to get rid of some of this stuff. You know, we think stuff in your life and my life wear out. Even in our bodies, we feel those hitches. But what we are receiving in Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what we are receiving in Jesus will have no end. Will have no end. Will have no end. That's powerful. That's powerful. And that's the gift that God has given to us in His Son. The nice thing about this gift that God gives, and all the gifts that come through this one gift, His Son, is that it's not up to us to figure out the instructions to assemble it. Jesus is going to do salvation for us. He's going to accomplish these things for us. And then He's going to give them to us. So receive Jesus once again tonight. How does it go in the hymn, O little town of Bethlehem? O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. Gosh, we can say that prayer every day. We can celebrate Christmas all the time, unwrapping the gift in so many different ways and celebrating Jesus, the best gift ever. So, kids, how many of you can't wait to open up presents? Kids just can't wait. Just can't wait. Yeah, there's the countdown. Can't we open up any? Anybody opening up the presents and then re-wrapping them after? No one's done that? Okay. Boy, it can be tempting. I've just never been good at wrapping things, so I wouldn't get away with it. But, you know, the interesting thing about this Isaiah passage is the last portion of verse 7. It reads this way. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The zeal of the Lord of the army will do this. So, if you can get the image, who from eternity was kind of jumping up and down, just can't wait to give the gift? Can't wait to give the gift. You know, what's interesting is some of you can't wait to see what others are going to respond to the gifts you've got for them. I mean, you're just anxious. Can't wait. Well, you know what? God wanted to get this to us. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. I mean, if you and I can have that kind of a feeling, God can have it too. I mean, His is the quintessential, the perfect essence of that kind of emotion. I want to get my gift to them. And that's why the angels sang and shouted and told the shepherds, quoting a portion of Isaiah, to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior has been born. To you, echoing to us, Jesus, God's gift to us. I hope you see in this meditation with me the best gift ever. Merry Christmas. In the name of Jesus, amen.